Mentioned Lainey Sullivan here for Rooted in Revenue, and Lainey and I are continuing our conversation on this series that she gave me a list of great topics, and we're going to keep going. And today, Lainey, what are we talking about?
Today, we're talking about building a sustainable tech stack.
Woohoo!
Let's talk about what a tech stack is first, though.
And then how we make it sustainable.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I know we talked about it a little bit in one of our previous episodes, what a tech stack was, but it's all the technology, right? It's all your software, your websites, your domains, your hosting company. People don't think about the hosting company. Everything that you log into on the computer is part of your tech stack.
I don't think people always realize that. They think of it more as software or big SaaS solution, you know, big solutions that are expensive or, but some of the forgotten things, like you were just saying, just where do you register your domain? That's your GoDaddy tech stack.
Yeah.
Cloud MailChimp Fair. Tech stack.
Yeah.
Google Analytics tech stack.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just start listing all the things that you have to sign into and then start listing all the things you've already forgotten about. Those are also included in your tech stack.
And we'll talk about that later, because we talked about it in the last one, that that's what wasting money.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that too, on a great way to do a check, maybe to see what have you forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
How do we check on that later? So we'll bring that into the action list at the end of the show. So, okay, Lainey, so let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. So tech stack, sustainability, you know, the thing that I have seen over the years, especially if we've gotten into more technology, is people go, oh, I want to get that piece of technology. Like suddenly there's this like ChatGPT is so popular. I'm going to go sign up for all the things. And oh, now this one, and now this one, and now this one. And so all of a sudden you have this entire stack of technology that you've played around with and you've f***ed around with it and putzed around in it. And then you've gone, I'm not really interested. So let me try the next one and the next one and the next one. And now you've got a stack of technology that you've that's irrelevant. You haven't used it. You've wasted money on it. That's, oh, can we please stop?
Yeah.
Please stop.
Well, it's not only that. That's just one more company too you've given your data to. And it's almost impossible in the time it takes to remove yourself from having those things that you know you'll never use again.
Yeah, like why? So when I look at technology, when I'm especially when I'm looking at technology for clients, is what's going to work for them for the next few years? And how long has that company been in place? That technology company, right? The development of it. Have they been ActiveCampaign is one that I'll talk about. I like them. I don't integrate them a lot with clients, but I like them. They've been in business for a long time. They're constantly updating their UI UX, right? So they're constantly maintaining and creating sustainability. So they're a good piece of technology to add into your tech stack that you know they're not going to just blow it up next year.
Right. I run into that with WordPress, and I set up a lot of WordPress sites for people. And it's like, yeah, I can do custom themes if you want. We can start from scratch and we can build it, or you can go pick out some theme that nobody's tested and we haven't looked at. I mean, Mayanna Stevenson and I used to talk about this all the time. It's like, what is their support like?
Yeah.
And what support do you need too from these companies that you are committing to? Are you okay with a ticketed system? Are you okay waiting 2 days for a response? Do you need a phone to pick up? And it'll vary from use to use, but you need to know. So, I mean, I love the Avada theme. It's been around for like 12 years and they just keep improving it, and their response is great and they always help. They're fantastic. And they let you white label it and all these kind of things. So it's going to depend too. As you're researching this, you need to determine those needs first. For each of your tasks that you are going to need a stack for, or that you already have, am I happy with it? Do I ever use it? It goes with your list that you were talking about before. Love, hate, delegate. I'm sure you have another spreadsheet for this one.
I have kind of a more comprehensive business assessment. download for this one. Assesses everything.
Yeah.
But Going back to that sustainability and the support, that's really important. So I've been working with I work with a lot of bookkeepers and accountants, and there's very industry specific technology that they can use. And I'm shocked by the number of bookkeepers and accountants that use Google Sheets for managing all of their tasks and their projects. I'm like, what are you doing there? So I'm gonna totally promote a piece of technology that I'm not an affiliate for, but if you are a bookkeeper or an accountant, you need to go and sign up for Carbon HQ. It's Carbon HQ. It is the most premier accounting bookkeeping software system, has amazing support, amazing training. It's a project management system, ties into QuickBooks. It does literally everything that you wanted to do. Like, I wish that there was a Carbon HQ for literally every industry across the board. That would make my life so happy, because it's completely comprehensive from a management, business management perspective. But that's not my luck. Let's be real.
Oh man. Okay, so that's when you're, and I appreciate too that you're telling everybody, we're not affiliated.
Not affiliated. It's just one I've used, and I've used a few, and it's the best one. I just got off the phone with a bookkeeping firm, and again, they're using Google Sheets to manage all their projects. So let's talk about Google Sheets and Google as a tech stack. And
Okay.
it's a little scary, you guys. Google's not secure, not as secure as you think it is.
Right.
The last thing you want to do is put all of your information and rely solely on Google. I'm also not a fan of Microsoft, but I don't think there's any perfect piece of
There
technology.
isn't. And I think the biggest mistake that people make with something that's as simple to use and access as Google is they forget to lock it down. And I know that's still no 100% guarantee ever, but too many times you'll allow other people to invite others in there, and anybody with the link can view. And especially when you have these sensitive documents up there, you need to lock it down. And this goes for anything in your tech stack that you're using, but it's particularly on Dropbox, Google, on Drive, on all those
Share
shared types at
file.
Microsoft, all of those share file, there are dozens of them. Make sure that it is locked down, and if you are the owner of it, only you can invite people. Only you can allow them, and don't allow them to invite others. It
If
needs
you're
to run
going to
through you.
use Google Drive, create a separate drive. Create an actual drive that you can share and control. Don't share your personal drive. Shit, create a separate drive
For the
that
business.
is a business entity within
Yes.
your drive.
Oh, definitely. I mean, everything should be under the business. And for every business and the tech stacks too, another, I know you're going to get into it deeper, but I still want to stay back on the setting up of these stacks. Just because you have a consultant helping you, do not let them set up anything under their names. Their accountant's like, oh, I'm giving you full admin access. No, you need to be the owner of your stuff. There
Of
is
everything.
no compromise on that.
Nope. I have an email address because I do use Google Drive because it's an easy, I
Yeah.
say be careful, right? But I use it because it is easy. But I have it locked down, to the points. But I have one email address that my entire team can use where they can create documents in my Google Drive. And if they're creating it in their drive and then sharing it to my drive, I'm like, nope,
Nope.
undo that, go back and fix it. This is the email address that it gets shared under.
Right.
So
I'm
then
working
my
on
domain owns all of it.
exactly. And that's why the problem too is as consultants and as those of us that have businesses, if we do create it for people, you cannot transfer ownership only from a personal account over. And this goes with many other pieces in the tech stack. But Google is the most common, so we're covering that a little bit heavier than we normally would. I have a client and I'm doing her conference for us. I need the folder. And I know, in her head, she's remembering, yes, because I hate it when you own it, Susan. I need to own it. It's mine. So I said, as soon as you send that to me, send me that link and I will put everything in there for you. But it's yours. It has to be yours.
When we work with clients and we use Google, we have them at the end of the contract. They have an we have a client internal file and we have a client like accessible file. So we have two client files.
Right.
the client accessible file, I always tell them download it and then re-upload it. So download it to your computer out of my Google Drive and then upload it into your computer onto your Google Drive. So
why?
Really, well, because I own it.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So then when, okay, I see what you're saying. So anything that they are going to want ownership of, you can create it, download it, replace it with you with them as the owner.
Yeah.
That's a great solution.
It's just a really simple one because, well, I don't want to try to teach them how to do something that they're just not going to maintain. And that's really important. Like, I'm not going to teach any business owner on any piece of technology something that they're not going to maintain.
Right.
I'm also not going to implement any piece of technology that they're not going to maintain. So when you're looking at your business and you start looking at your tech stack and you start tearing it apart because you need to do that, is what are you using? Why are you using it? When are you using it? Who's using it? Who's got control of it? Who's got access to it? What's your decision hierarchy? All of those pieces need to be a part of your tech stack assessment because you need to know all of those things. And you want to make sure that your technology makes sense for the business that you're running and your day-to-day functionality. So does it serve your business internally? Does it serve your business externally? How do your clients have access to it? Do they have access to it? How does your team have access to it? All of those pieces are really integral to making those decisions on your tech.
And for these tests, you know, test drives that we all do of so many tech pieces, a lot of the tutorials and things are not specific enough to our needs.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be very careful that just because it looks great for how they're showing it, can you actually use all those features? Do they matter? You might be using, look at Photoshop. Photoshop, you use 1/10 of it and you're considered a pro because it does so much.
Mm-hmm.
So how much, you know, that they're showing you that all the videos support, what's going to happen with your customization of it or implementation setup? Who's helping you with that? Who's helping you determine what that scope is that you need to make that tool function as you need it? And where will they go after? Can you still get to them later to help you again when you have to tweak it?
Exactly. I like looking at tech that's comprehensive. So where it'll do 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 different things all in one. So for example, High Level is a really great example. Go High Level is a Kajabi is another one. What's Kajabi? There's another one, Kartra.
So what do these three do that you're talking about?
So they do everything. So they
That's oh, thank you, Lainey.
I know. They do everything. You guys just go
take
sign
each
up.
One. Take one each one of those.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't go into the details of each one specifically because they all do similar things, but different, but let's just talk about Go High Level.
Okay.
It's your website and you can have multiple websites. So like for me, I have 3 different domains, so I can put all my websites, all my funnels, all my workflows. I can connect multiple calendars. I can connect, what else can I connect in there? My pipeline, my CRM, my communication for text and email. What else can I put in there? My Instagram, all my social media posting. So I love technology that eliminates the need to pay for 5 different pieces of technology or 6.
Or the time to log in, log out, log in, log out.
Right.
So is this, this is sound like it's something comparable to something like HubSpot.
Yeah, similar. So okay. Like it has a membership portal. Like if you're doing memberships and communities, like there's a lot of like, so if you're going into, I have a CRM, I've got email marketing, I've got a website, I've got social media, I'm paying for a social media posting software. I've got my calendars. If you start looking at all of the technology, now, how can you replace or integrate all of your technology into 1 or 2 or 3 different softwares rather than having a stack of 10 or 15? Like you're still going to have a large stack because you're still using Google and you're still using your hosting company.
Right.
Right. You're still going to have those pieces. But if you can take your main hub and condense it and bring all of these different pieces into one space, the amount of time you save, the amount of money you save, it's freaking brilliant.
It is. And then devil's advocate on that. I get scared putting too much with one because if something botches up with one, it's everything's botched up.
Yeah, there is that.
And so it's just, oh, you know, that's, I don't like the idea of one for everything, but to have a few.
No. I don't have one for everything. I think I have three main pieces of technology that I run with. And then, of course, all of my hosting and all my support tech,
Right.
right? But I've got three main. So I have one software that does all my contracts and forms and intakes and all of that. Then I have, what else do I have? I don't have a lot anymore. Like,
What
I've
do you use
really,
for your contracts and forms and all that?
I use Jotform now.
Okay.
So I've looked at DocuSign, didn't really like their, I
Yeah.
didn't like their user experience, to be honest.
No.
I used PandaDoc for years. I loved
I
PandaDoc.
remember that. Yeah.
Loved PandaDoc, but the when I really but I used to use Jotform way back in the day, and they were shitty back in the day.
They were.
They were real
I
shitty.
remember.
Sorry,
No,
Jotform.
I remember.
But now they're actually really good. So they have the form functionality, and then they have the contract signature functionality. So they've really improved their overall use,
Okay.
and they have the ability where I like PandaDoc. Typeform was another one that I used. So I used Typeform and PandaDoc together sequentially. So I would do all my forms in Typeform, all my contracts in Panda. But then I realized that Jotform, when they added the sign functionality and the contract functionality, I was
That's
like,
everything.
I can merge those two
Yep.
now. I have the cool functionality of Typeform where it's like question by question by question, or I
Right.
can do one long question, like one long form. So there's a lot of different options. So yeah,
I like it.
those are two I like, and I like Typeform and I like PandaDoc, but I really like Jotform better now. I like merging technology and making my life easier. Again, less pieces of information, less of my information is out there.
So this becomes though another piece that maybe people even hadn't thought about. That's a tech stack thing I need to consider because it's like, oh, I do it in Word, then we print it to PDF, we make it assignable PDF. You know, those types of things, those are extra steps. And how can you streamline that so you don't?
Well, create your templates and then stop rebuilding your templates, number
Well,
one.
right. Well, yeah. Okay. So let's go realistic. A lot of people have a Word doc. They do a save as, they change the details, they print PDF, they add the signature fields, and they're done.
Yeah. How secure is it? What do
You
you
can make,
collect?
oh, it's all encrypted with Adobe at least.
If people are using it that way.
If people are using it,
Yeah.
if they remember to turn on the encryption. Yep.
So one of the things that I like about the contract signature softwares is you can turn on an audit trail, and you can see the audit trail of how that document went through. And it protects you on the in the back end. If you ever have a legal issue, well, here's the audit trail of this document. And you can provide that audit trail to your customer as well. You can either give it to them or not give it to them. So in my contracts, my clients, I have it turned on so they can have an audit trail as well. And it's on every single page of the document.
I like it.
I know. It's just levels of protection and security and awareness. And a lot of people I don't know, I feel like they're afraid to step into the place of giving their clients information. Like, why would I give my client an audit trail? Like, because.
I don't even know if that's it, Lainey. I think a lot of it is this is how we've always done it.
Yeah, there's that.
I think there's a lot of that, and I don't need it to be that complicated. It's okay. They trust me, I trust them. And
Until.
but I think there's a lot of that complacency because it's easier and it's you don't have to learn the new steps and write down the new steps of how we're going to do it now. I think it's that more than anything, more than trying to hide stuff from the client, at least
I think,
from what I've heard from people. They
yeah,
it's always laziness or
yeah,
afraid
I
to
think it's a
change.
little of both, depending on like
Yeah.
the demographic, right? So I
Right.
think there's one part of the demographic of our business community that's like, this is the way we've always done it. And then there's maybe it's the younger demographic. I don't want to like, but there's a segment of business owners who are more legally accepting of going after each other and like, There's those that are like, screw it. I'm going to screw that. I'm not going to pay that bill. I'm not going to do this thing. I'm not going to honor this contract. I'm like, I'm always like, how can we prevent conflict?
Right.
And how can we create clarity?
Right.
And your tech stack can do that if you do it right.
Right.
So yeah, I'm all about like that, like communication, clarity, sustainability. It's really, really important to your entire technology foundation.
So sustainability is used in so many ways currently. Mm-hmm. And I've heard, you know, oh, I want to get my sustainable marketers certification. I want to do this, and this is sustainable. Let's clarify how you're using it as far as tech stack.
Yeah, for me, sustainability is long-term growth. 3 to 5 years. Here's the thing. Our technology is changing so fast. I am looking at software and tech that has been around and has been solid for more than 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like anything less than 3 years old. Very rarely do I implement anything less than 3 years old, because I want something that's been around and has been proven that I know will stay. Even if they make minor adjustments and they make minor tweaks, that's okay. But I don't want a piece of technology that's been around for less than 36 months, because you have no idea if they're going to be around for the next 36 months.
Well, especially if you're recommending it to other people, because that's your reputation since you chose it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, let's look at something like, you know, Member Press. I know a lot of people love it. I'm not a fan, and I'm struggling because I'd recommended it because I thought it was the solution, but I recommended it to a client, and to implement it for what we need is so frustrating. Part of me says, I should have just done a custom solution or something else, but for what they wanted, it was just, you get stuck. And then all of a sudden, as you're adjusting it to make it fit, you're cramming it through, and they've been around for a long time. So, you know, I know they're staying. I'm not worried about that piece of it, but it's, will it continue to suit my needs? How do I get support for it, for these specific pieces? How do I do the architecture for it? And I think those are the things we have to think about for anything that we're doing,
mm-hmm.
anything that we're considering getting, and not only recommending, but if you're recommending it to the people that you answer to in your company, that's still mm-hmm. your reputation.
Still your reputation.
You have to trust that salesperson enough, but they can only give you information based on what you've told them you absolutely must have.
Right.
And if you don't know that, you're going to be in a heap of trouble, because you're going to go back and go, oh, I thought mm-hmm. it would do this. And
right. The other side to that is, what do you anticipate happening in your business for the next 1 to 3 years?
Mm.
And looking at the technology, will it work for me in 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, right? So does it have the longevity and the past? Does it have the previous history of being solid? And does the potential of my business fit into what the services are provided in that piece of technology for the next couple of years? Because we're constantly evolving in our own businesses. So we're adapting, we're pivoting, we're growing. Sometimes we're scaling back versus scaling forward, right? So looking at the entire picture of, where am I going, and what is that technology doing for me? What can it do for me down the road? And then what, you know, has it been sustainable in the past? When one last thing I'll say is, if you're looking at a piece of technology, find the forums and the Facebook groups about that technology and that software, and go join them. And go sit and listen and ask questions before you pay for it.
Before you pay the time to implement it, to get trained on it, and everybody taking the time to download it, learn how to use it.
Yeah.
Spend a few hours popping in and out and seeing what they're complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
Unresolved, how fast the response time is. How many people are participating in it, and who is answering? Is it only users, or does the company jump in and help out? Do they close tickets so fast because it went awry in the conversation? Are they willing to have hard conversations and to be respectful and, you know, not condescending? And it does matter, because that's their attitude towards serving their customers.
100%.
Yep.
1,000%.
Well, this was, you've given everybody so many great things to think about, both of us, you know, with the stories, some software recommendations, at least for people to consider, to think about, and how they should go about considering it and what they need to do. I'm promising everybody you're going to have a sheet for them to download that we can link in the episode.
Okay, I have it. I got it.
That's okay. By the time we publish this, it will be in there because it's a few weeks away. So we're good on that. Terrific. All right. So everybody, you can find us at rootedinrevenue.com or look for us in all your favorite podcast apps. If you have any requests or things you want us to tackle, let us know. You can find both of us on LinkedIn or on our websites. Lainey is laineysullivan.com. I am susanfinch.com. Kind of easy. We'll see you at the next one.
Never miss an episode. Check out rootedinrevenue.com and subscribe on the site to get weekly updates of when new episodes come out. We'll get you all the information you need to do your best with marketing and your online presence.